Good morning. God is good. And all the time? All right. Praise God. We just want to welcome you here to New Beginnings Fellowship here this morning, all of you viewing in. This is our lesson two of the deception of selfishness. My name is Brother Justin Boren. I am filling in for our senior pastor, Pastor Hall, and the First Lady, who is out on evangelism tours right now. As we dive into the Word today, we're going to bless it. Father God, thank you for allowing us to come together in like-mindedness with hearts full of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Let us come in a humbled state to learn, to receive, and to grow. In your name we pray. Amen. Last week, in regards to lesson one on the deception of selfishness, we really touched on the act of asking for forgiveness, as well as the act of being forgiven, and how it is a double-edged sword, and how we are to not only edify and exonerate, but also care for one another, as we saw in Galatians 6, with bearing one another's burdens. How do we operate in relationships with one another? I'm very blessed to have a mother and a father that poured into me, not just scripturally, but also in terms of love and understanding and care. The word is a double-edged sword as a Christian. To recite word, it has to be first approached with a platform of a portrayal. We want to portray that word as a Christian before giving that word to be received, to be edified, to be exonerated, for application to take place. I had a very poignant conversation with my father this past week, which, whom many even know, Ben Boren. Our entire prayer group, the Mountain Movers Club, has been praying for him for the last 4 years in regards to his battle against leukemia, which he has won. And it is done, and we continue to receive that healing. Thank you for those prayers. My father, being very frugal, much like myself, I buy 4 new shirts every 2 years. You're getting to see one of them this morning. I'm supporting not only my father here this morning, but also my mother, who has won her battle against stage 2 breast cancer. And it is done. And we receive the healing by his single stripe, as we see in Isaiah 53. It is done. The debt has been paid, just like we discussed last week. Why do we continue to put ourselves in condemnation whenever we know that it's done? It's our flesh. It's our stuff. It's the stuff that gets attached to us whenever we don't operate in Christ's likeness. My father, who has been such an amazing example of what a Christian man should be, not only to his family, but also the way in which he exemplifies this in his day-to-day, whether it was his job, whether it was his role in the church, whether it was the way in which he chose to put Christ first, even when he was on his deathbed on 3 different occasions. He used it as a platform to advocate Christ's likeness, and lives were touched, and people got saved. But it doesn't always take root the first time. It doesn't always bear fruit the first time. Just like we know, we are survivors as Christians. We've been survivors throughout the entire Bible as a whole as Christians. There's been plagues, there's been seasons. We survived. We're in a season right now. We know what the end game is. If we don't quit, we win. Where is our heart? Are we operating soul down? Or are we operating spirit up? My father, being frugal like myself, didn't want to have to pay for a postage stamp. He was already over there to receive his labs that he goes in for about every 2 weeks, post-stem cell replacement. And he said, well, since I'm already here, I'll go ahead and go pay my bill. Save a stamp, right? There's nothing wrong with that. Well, when he got to the kiosk, the front desk of where he's usually supposed to pay his bill, because of protocol, the person that was not there that typically receives billing, they didn't have another person to fulfill that person's role. Then they tried to go find another individual to fill that role, to which they said, well, I can't do that because I would be breaking protocol. To which they went and found another person who said, well, that's really not in my job description. To which they found a supervisor that had to locate the first person who was supposed to be at the kiosk in the first place to receive the billing, who actually was not at work that day. Why do I highlight this as an example? This is what people that are seeking true faith and people that are seeking love and people that are seeking the Word do. The question is, are we manning our desk?
Come on.
Are we manning our position at the foot of the cross? We talked about that last week. There's a clear-cut line. It's the foot of the cross. Are you facing it or is your back to it? Are we bearing one another's burdens? Or do we cast people aside because it's not a part of our agenda? Well, that's not my job description today. I'd love to help you, but I just can't. I have more pressing things to do in my time today. My time that's been freely given, freely bestowed. It's a gift. What are we doing with it? He redeems it. What are we doing with it? How do we operate in relationships with one another? A problem is indicative of human compassion. The solution's already been freely given. We get to freely choose whether we want to receive it. Whenever you are exonifying and edifying and showing care, this is not something that there's a formula for. This is something that's Spirit-led. These are things that are bestowed to us as we freely open our hearts to receive it and not operate out of our soul, but within our spirit that fills our soul. That way, we're not the ones that are IDing self. We're only IDing cross. We're only choosing to rise above the current season and look up and receive. We are called to give 6 hours of our time every time when someone needs our help. When we're bearing someone else's burdens. No, there's not a formula for this. This is daily. This is something that we sow into. And we plant mustard seeds. And we water. And we tend to. And we scrape away and rake away the weeds. And we tend to the soil. And we give of our time to like-minded individuals who are looking for help, who are looking for love, who are looking for someone to touch them and fill them with the Holy Spirit. Do we choose to act? Do we receive? Do we identify? And do we do? Are we doers? The difference, godly compassion, is to turn them to the Word. Human compassion is agreeing with the excuse in the first place. A man that treats his wife badly, treats his helpmate badly, when he comes to you and he's seeking your guidance, and he says, she's hard to deal with. Do you respond with the word? Or do you agree to distance yourself from the conversation? Do you agree so that way you maintain your status with that individual? You agree so that way there's not a conflict. We know last week when you speak truth to someone, you can do that without self-condemnation. You can speak truth to someone without hurting them, without breaking them, when it's been bestowed, when we're open to receive, because we're at a point of grace, and we understand that we can operate that way in the Spirit. A godly man washed her feet in the water of the Word. That's what we're called to do. Not to play the blame game. Not to point out inconsistencies in each other's walk. Not to play the I'm the sort of guy, I'm the sort of girl person kind of game. Not to say, well, I did enough. I checked my boxes. This should be daily. This is what we've been called to do. Two things underneath the new covenant along with the commandments. Sacrifice the first of your fruits. Be vessels for the gospel in all things. It's very simple. We're the ones that delude and confuse it. We'll be in the NIV today, John 13. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Chapter 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Verse 3. I want you to highlight this, please. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. All power, right? What was bestowed to us through his death and resurrection? 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scriptures God-breathed. Useful for teaching, rebuking, healing, seeing signs and wonders, casting out demons, and rising those from the dead. I ask again, what is our hang-up? Why do we get this confused? And that he had come from God and was returning to God. Verse 4. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? It's that undoubt. Even the disciples struggled with this. But listen to the betrayal. Jesus replied, do you not realize now that I am, or what I am doing? But later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. You don't understand my past. You don't understand what I've come from. Well, it's not about our track record, is it? It's not about our report card. Jesus did it perfect. We're living on God's promises. We get to continue the plight of Christ because we are made righteous. Because it's a free gift. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Highlight that, underline that. Commit that to memory. If this is what Jesus was doing for the disciples, with his infinite knowledge, he knew what was coming. And we know what our role is supposed to be as Christians, as like-minded individuals, as vessels for the gospel. What is our hang-up? Why aren't we edifying? Why aren't we exonerating? Why aren't we showing care? Why aren't we acting as disciples for one another? Well, it's the season. Seasons come and seasons go. We've already touched on this. Well, I have too much on my shoulders right now. I have too much that I'm having to deal with. I don't have the time. I'm too busy. Focus is on self. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. There's that old selfish heart, isn't it? That old self-centered condemnation that we put ourselves in, right? It's not just this season. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. You also should edify, exonerate, show care, repeat. You should also bear one another's burdens. Remove the facade and replace it with Jesus' face. Remove the mask. How appropriate. How appropriate. A lot of masks walking around neighborhoods last night, wasn't there? A lot of alter egos walking around in the streets yesterday. Well, it's finally our opportunity to get past 2020 and be something completely different than what we're accustomed to. Guess what? You have it every day. It's already been freely given. Freely receive it. It's been bestowed. It's a gift. Take it. Run with it. Preach it. Preach it in all four corners of this earth. Every day can be fall carnival. Do you love me? Do you love me enough to get past your stuff? Do you love me enough to love someone else the same way that I love you? Without condemnation, without a checklist, without an agenda, even though they have wronged you, even though they have deceived you, even though you've deceived yourself. I ask again, when did it become unpopular to love somebody? He loved us before we were a speckle in our Father's eye. Verse 15, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. 16, very truly I tell you, No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. I told y'all last week in preparation in this study, there were things that came up for myself, things that I had to forgive myself over that I had missed. But it's okay. He makes me righteous. I choose to follow. I choose to receive it. And I don't have to sit there and be I'm the sort of guy anymore. I don't have to feel hypocritical because of my past. When Satan, our enemy, slings those arrows at me, when I'm on my walk, I'm on my walk. And my shield deflects those arrows left and right. Because he invests in me just like I invest in his word. Just like I operate in the spirit. Just as I choose to receive in the spirit. And then rest in his word. And rest in his spirit. And choose to take those words of knowledge and bestow words of wisdom as I sharpen not only my iron, but my brothers and sisters' iron. This is what we've been called to do. 17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Do we need a driver's manual for this? Steps 1 through 3. Repeat. Edify, exhort, show care. Repeat. There's no secret to this. Our Father has clearly commanded us, not asked, commanded us to do this for one another. If we choose to do this as opposed to pit brother versus brother, sister versus sister, to have conversations out of context and put one another in self-condemnation because of self-justification, that eventually leads to self-deprecation. Now I've deceived myself. Now I'm having to lie, cheat, steal to cover deceiving myself. Who does that? The enemy does. But here's the thing. It's not the enemy. It's us. We're choosing to operate in flesh. Whenever we receive the Holy Spirit strips the flesh and renews us and renews our mind and allows us to be able to operate within our gifts that are bestowed to us. Freely choose to receive it. Even if my brother or sister is in sin, I don't judge. It is not our job to judge. Our job is to edify, exhort, show care. Our job is to jump down there in that pit with them and allow them to crawl out. Our job is to take them under our wing and protect them. And bestow to them exactly what was bestowed to us. And provide a platform for the dialogue. A platform for the renewed spirit to operate. A platform for the individual to be able to forgive themselves. New Beginnings Fellowship, Mid-Cities did that for me. It took time. Took the greater part 2 years. But I received it because I had other like-minded Christians that were pouring into me and providing the dialogue and providing the platform and advocating Christ, not themselves, not their checklist, not checking boxes, just Jesus on their face. Someone of God must interject, or it will spiral out of control. Be quiet and do what I told you to do. But why? Because I said so. Remember that conversation? Remember being sent to your room? I had one summer that I had a cheater bar and some work gloves, and I broke out fence posts all summer. I had another summer where I painted the house twice. My father did this out of love. My father did this because he cared about me enough to teach me. That's what God does for us. Amen. Spoke on this last week. Therapy is putting a Band-Aid over a bullet wound, getting the word. Therapy will teach you to deflect and point your fingers at everyone else except for yourself. And here's the thing, we try to drag others down with us. Well, don't you see it from my perspective? Don't you see how wrong they are? Don't you see how right I am? We're dragging them right down with us into self-condemnation. We lie to ourselves, and then we make others believe the lie. I'm not pulling you up out of that pit. I'm dragging you down with me. Show compassion and teach. Just like Jesus did. Be Christ-like. Live in Christ-likeness. Show compassion, then teach. He performed signs and wonders and then spoke in parables. He never turned anybody away, did he? Nope. Sure didn't. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Have the hard conversations with those that you love. Speak truth to them. If you speak truth out of love, it will not break them. Amen. It will not hurt them. Because you're channeling Christ's likeness. You're doing exactly what God has commanded you to do whenever you receive within the Holy Spirit and you're bestowed that word of knowledge to give a word of wisdom. How often do we hold back? How often do we deceive ourselves? Well, I don't know if that was really the word I'm supposed to give. I'm not sure if that was really the word that I'm supposed to give to them. I don't really know them that well. We haven't spent necessarily seasons together. I don't know if I can speak truth into their life right now. Don't deceive yourself. Galatians 6:3. Don't reason with someone who is lost either. Speak truth. Apply grace, not law. Speak love. Don't treat your sister or your brother well because I want you to. Do it because God wants you to. Love him or her as he loves them. Always point back to the cross. Always direct them back to the cross. Always direct them back to Jesus and what has been paid for them. That within itself convicts us to do right. That's righteousness. You are not the authority in anyone else's life. Jesus is. direct them back to the cross. I told y'all last week, whenever I am given a word and I speak that word, I'm speaking that word because I've been commanded to speak that word. I'm freely choosing to receive. I'm freely choosing to give. And that person, truly and freely, gets to choose whether they want to receive it. If not, that's fine. Take it up with God. Amen. If you direct them back to the cross, if you direct them back to Jesus, I'm not passing condemnation. I'm giving you truth out of love because I've been commanded to do it. And I've been commanded to edify, exonerate, and show care. I've been commanded to bear your burdens. We just saw it right in Scripture. I've been commanded to wash your feet even if you wrong me. In fact, I'm called to love you just as much, despite yourself. Just like God forgave me for my past and continues to forgive me every day, he doesn't have to crawl back on that cross. It's done. What he did is he allowed me through prayer, through meditation of the word, through renewing my mind that, oh man, there's things I haven't forgiven myself for. Thank you, Lord, for freeing me from this bondage. Amen. Thank you, my Lord, for freedom, true freedom. But how do we operate as a church, modern church, I'm speaking to you. How do we operate? You can be lost and hang out with me. You can not necessarily believe how I believe and still associate with me. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm called to pour into you. I'm called to bear your burdens. I'm called to be there for you. Jesus to the second power kind of stuff. All the way until the end. I gave you the example in lesson one. If you open those doors for the conversation, to allow the dialogue, I guarantee you they have questions. And here's the thing. You might not have all of the correct words, or in a, you know, very smooth rhythm and delivery. But if you just open up your heart and receive, it rolls off your tongue like a sweet honey. You're glowing. You're basking in it. They want to know what it's about. But you have to be in a situation to where I am not going to allow myself to be deceived by myself, by others, by the enemy, by seasons, by the world. I'm going to operate in a way in which only glorifies you. I'm going to practice in a way where I am open to receiving and also choosing to speak whenever you've been given and bestowed a word. You mess around that creek bank long enough with me, you're going to fall in. You pray for change. You pray for a change of course, a change of direction. A change in the way in which someone receives you. But when it happens, do we do? When all of a sudden that change takes place, whenever there is a direct and a perceived notion that this is an opportunity, do we act? When we know that this is a God-given, God-bestowed moment, this is what we have been praying for, this is what we have been seeking in the Word, this is what we have been receiving in terms of the words that we're going to give. But do we practice? Do we operate? Do we prepare? do we do? Live the Word in every facet of your life. I had someone tell me a long time ago, you know, don't be spiritual at work. It really turns people off. Kind of makes people not want to associate with you. Why? Jesus came to save the lost. Janet don't want to hang out with me around the coffee maker anymore. That's okay. Eventually, she's going to fall in the creek too. It's timing. He bestows it. He redeems it. If Phil sees me coming down the hallway and he turns and starts walking the other direction, I wore my running shoes today. It's okay. I'll catch up. Eventually, the opportunity is going to take place if we continue to seek to bring people to the Lord, even if they're indifferent to the way in which you practice, you operate, you glorify, the way in which you choose to edify, exhort, and show care. If you're removing self, if you're stripping flesh from the situation. It should be an endless, flowing waterspout in every facet of our lives. Continually and continually reemerging, continually rising up within us, continually allowing opportunities to share Jesus without fear. And it should never, ever become something that seems like a job. This is our manifest destiny in Christ. This is where we get to choose within free will to operate within our gifts and touch people. Do you only exercise your gifts in your own revelation when you're only around church folk? I was having dinner with another man that's in the ministry. We often will meet up about every 3 or 4 months, just kind of spiritually check one another, check our temperature, so to speak. Sometimes we can overlook things whenever we can have tunnel vision. And so it's good to have a secondhand opinion on things within Christian brothers and Christian sisters. And my brother was really pouring into me that day because there were some things that I was struggling with in my spiritual walk and a spiritual nature that I needed to have a fresh mindset on. I needed a fresh set of ears on, a fresh set of eyes. And what was so neat about this is that this other gentleman had already been through this process, kind of knew some of the signs in terms of things that come down the pipe in terms of our spiritual walk and our spiritual journey and things that we need to look for as it resonates with us. And he asked me, he said, you know, are you using your gifts in the prophetic and speaking truth? And speaking truth whenever you're commanded to speak truth, whenever you practice, you receive, and you're gifted something within the Holy Spirit. And what was so interesting about that is that there was a waitress that was serving us that day that I just got the sense that there was a stronghold in her life. There was something that she was battling. There was something that she needed to receive a word on in regards to, she was forgiven. And she had been an excellent waitress for us the entire meal. And sometimes, you know, we can go 3, 4, 5 hours, okay, in terms of these meetings. And whenever she came to serve us the check, I just really wanted to tell her, I said, you know, thank you so much for serving us. You did an excellent job. And, you know, I don't want to scare you, but I just want to share with you that I'm a believer. And I know that you are too. Because whenever someone has Jesus in their heart, there's a glow about them. There's an afterglow. And I said, and my father wants me to tell you that you're forgiven. That you don't have to live that past down anymore. That's already been paid for. That God wants you to move forward. That He's got amazing plans for you, amazing opportunities. And continue to seek Him. Because He has someone special for you. He made just for you. Tears coming down her face. To know me and to understand that that was really difficult for me to do, because I've always been a very logical person. And I have struggled with tapping into the spiritual and receiving from the Holy Spirit. And then also when I have received in the past, knowing that, hey, this is my word that I'm supposed to give to them. You know, that freed her. That freed her just because I chose to be a conduit. That freed her from struggles, from sin nature, from flesh, from victimization. And it also filled her soul with the Holy Spirit, because she knows that God does have someone perfect for me. Amen. God loves me despite myself. He has an amazing predestined master plan for just me. He freely gives. We get to choose to freely receive. Paul Milligan, I spoke on last week. He's a CFO, CEO, multi-billionaire, great Christian teacher that has gone all around the world, has brought Living Water Ministries to some of the most remote places that life just cannot sustain. And he brings in an infrastructure, and he actually brings in an infrastructure that is based in the Word and Christian values, and creates business and economy for places that can't sustain without it. And he talks about, even in his own business, that he advocates Christ and Christian values, and that he really encourages his employees to operate in the Spirit and speak prophetically to one another. And what was so interesting is that he had just got done having a team meeting with one of his corporations here in the States, and he had really been advocating resting in the Word, resting in prayer life, and giving your burdens over to the Lord. And there was a real sweet Laotian woman that worked for him in accounting that came up to him, and she said, you know, I'm not a Christian. I grew up basically in an agnostic family that everyone had a way. But, you know, some of the things that you said really touched me, were really freeing to me, because there's really nothing that's being asked of me except for me just to accept Him into my heart. For me just to give my heart to an almighty God that loves me despite myself, despite anything that's ever happened in my life, despite any wrongdoing that I've ever done. Loves me inherently. He said, yes, absolutely. He knows the desires of your heart. She broke down in tears. She said, do you think God would grant me a child? He said, absolutely. Absolutely. If you receive the grace of your Heavenly Father, and you receive His love, and you abide in that love, He knows the desires of your heart, and He hears your prayers. And so they went into the office, both Paul Milligan, the Laotian woman that worked for him in accounting, along with two of his sons that worked for him, and a couple of co-workers. And they prayed over her, and she received our Heavenly Father. She also received the baptism within the Spirit in the same moment. And 9 months later, she had a baby. And what was so interesting about this story is that her husband, for the next 3 months after she had born the child, would come to Paul and say, "What happened to my wife?" He said, "Jesus did." And he'd come back. What happened to my wife? Something has changed. Jesus. The third time he came back, he said, you think Jesus would save me? You think Jesus would allow me into his kingdom? You think Jesus loves me enough to allow me to live with him in eternity? He said, absolutely. He said, this was all a part of it. She became a believer because of godly compassion, not human compassion. Godly compassion is being able to speak the truth in love. It's amazing how people respond when they know you love them. Unconditional, in spite of their sin, no matter their background. See ourselves the way that he sees us. Talking, relating, and ministering to the children of God. "Oh, but you don't understand my background. You don't understand what I've been through. You don't know my woes." It's all counterfeit. Sins, they've been forgiven. They've been paid for. He bore them all, past, present, and future, on the cross for all of us, believer and unbeliever alike. And if you want to claim the chief of sinners spot, it's already been taken. Paul already took it. Sorry. We're under new covenant grace now. Can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Stop making excuses. It's an amazing opportunity to operate in the supernatural daily. To be an advocate for Christ in all things. And bring like-minded individuals. And bring people that are on the fence and struggling with their own sin nature. In their own flesh, and folks that are blind to the spiritual realm around them right now, to bring them to the foot of the cross. Now is the time. Stand in the gap. Quality of life. Is it about them or about me? Is it about me or is it about him? When I betray myself, I'm wrong. When others betray me, how do I choose to respond? When I deceive myself, I don't know that I'm deceived. We saw that in Galatians 6:3. Guess what? When other people wrong you, when others hurt you, when others say or do things that you feel like, man, I just don't know if we can't come back from, we're to forgive them because guess what? They're deceived themselves. It's a double-edged sword. We edify, we exhort, we care, repeat. Galatians 6:2-4, carry one another's burdens. Verse 2, carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own work. Put it to fruition. Lip service is nothing but words. Deeds and actions are the true measure of faith. You can sit there and talk to someone until you're blue in the faith and blue in the face. But show them love. Portray love to them. Show them grace. Portray grace to them. Show them care. Portray care to them. Don't run up and hit somebody over the back of the head with the Bible. Our outward reflection is a measure of our inward progression. It's contagious, but you have to allow it and allow it to operate within you in the Spirit. Mistreated and victimized, have compassion, but resist being mistreated. I understand that you've been through some terrible things. I understand that some terrible things happened to you, that evil things happened to you. But I will not allow you to have a crutch. I will care for you. I will love you as my own. I will provide the platform and the dialogue and allow the opportunity for you to grow and remove these things that are not of Christ off you, Christian. But I will not make you an emotional cripple. You are made perfect. You are made as more than a conqueror. You are made as a spiritual Levite. The right hand of Jesus on the throne. Be a leader in Christ. Make a commitment before God today that you will never be offended. We don't have the luxury. It's not in the description. Listen to this. If you're offended, you become deceived. If you're deceived, you become selfish. And whenever you become selfish, now within self, you become self-centered. You're now operating out of self-centeredness and hard-heartedness. How to get past this? Do steps 1 through 3. Still struggling with it? Do steps 1 through 3. Still have some hang-ups about it? Do steps 1 through 3. Edify, exhort, show care. Get in the Word. Rest in the Word. Receive from the Spirit. Amen. Speak when they say speak. Do when they say do. And if you become self-centered, if you're now operating out of self-centeredness and hard-heartedness, you won't make decisions in the best interest of your people. You'll be making decisions in your own best interest. Well, I'd love to stay and talk to you about that, but, you know, got reservations at Applebee's at 2. Sorry. Maybe we can catch up next Sunday. Every day. Every day. There's not a specified amount of time. But what we know based off of last lessons, that he redeems the time.
That's right.
Be a doer. And also, on a side note, when your people, they don't do these things and they do operate within the Spirit, and they do steps 1 through 3, raise them up and commission them. They're showing maturity. Stand behind them. Advocate for them. That is spiritual nourishment, and that's growth. What do we do when people repent? We celebrate them. What do we do when people show maturity in Christ's likeness? We celebrate them. Our joy is his greatest joy. So come talk to me when they hang you up on a cross with a crown of thorns on your head and put nails to your hands and feet, and a spear through your side. Come talk to me when you take on the sins of all humanity. Until then, you and I don't have the right to complain. It's not the season for it. Never has been. As Christians, we are called to be persecuted and suffer as overcomers for the kingdom. Quit looking at your challenges, mistreatments, acts of evil against you, and authority. Stop giving it authority. Stop giving it a stronghold in your life. Be an overcomer. See through it. The other side is freedom for you and for them. Guess what? Other people get convicted by your own convictions. I want you to respond in hate, and I respond in love. What's that about? What you got in the tank? What's that special stuff? Can we bottle that? Can you tell me what that's about? Allow the platform. Allow the time for dialogue. Win others to the kingdom. You can change people's lives, but not if you're depending on yourself. You can change people's lives, but you can't do it mistreating yourself. You can change people's lives, but you can't do it giving them authority when they are not God. We find the innocence of suffering comforting. Why do we put ourselves in self-condemnation over that? Well, I'm not where I need to be because I'm allowing myself to be frustrated over things I have no control over. I'm not where I need to be because I can't get past the fact that so-and-so has a new car out in front of their house and I don't have one. I can't get past the fact that I'm forced to follow this protocol and that I'm forced to live a way differently than what I'm accustomed to that might be saving lives. It's double-mindedness, isn't it? Proof that others are as blameworthy as we can claim them to be. We value the suffering over choosing to forgive. I would rather suffer, be in the bottom of that pit, drag others down with me, than out of love just saying, I forgive you. Out of love, I forgive myself. Amen. Move forward. See only Jesus. See only cross. We embrace the suffering because this is a culture of victimization. This is a cancellation culture. If I don't like it, I don't agree with it, I cancel it. Well, that's a double-edged sword too. We talked about that last week. I can turn it off. I can rise above the season. I can operate from Holy Spirit up. And I can look up and be bestowed the heavenly manna and the angel food cake that I need, the tools that I need to operate through this. In John it says, his light pierces through all darkness. He will never forsake us. Only loves you. He only wants the best for you. He only wants you to be in agape love and glorify Him and bring others to His throne so that way they can experience the same love. I choose love. I choose love. People groups have been horribly mistreated during this season. How does you and I walling around in it make it any better? Yes, we need to show victims compassion, but we are not called to make them emotional cripples. This does not do anything for them in regards to their spiritual walk in this spiritual realm. You can't put the supernatural in a box. You can't put the Holy Spirit in a box. You can't put Christ Jesus in a box. Our God is all. Amen. Allow Him to be able to operate and do what He does. Amen. Remove yourself from the equation. Just be a vessel. Hang your stuff up at the door. I used to have a coach tell me that. I was like, well, he wants me to hang my stuff up the door, so I better bring something to hang up. Brother. I had another teacher in class. I made decent grades, I'll be honest with you. I made A's, mostly A's and B's. But I always got the N in conduct, needs improvement. And I was the class, I know it's hard to believe, I was a class clown. I know it's hard to believe. Fourth grade, I got the lunchroom lover award. You think that would scar a kid for life? I wore it like a badge of honor. But she'd always tell me, check your attitude at the door. I think that resonates with this season that we're in. We can deceive ourselves and we can pass that deception on to others, but if we hang up our woes and we check our attitude by getting in this and receiving from Him, He covers. Amen. Victim can be ID'd in a victimized group or be an overcomer. Be something for Jesus and the kingdom. The world has no answer for this. Psychology, man using his soul to solve his problems. How's that working? How's our fallen world look right now? If it buffets your flesh, go to your spirit man. What are you asking your soul for? You're operating soul down, not spirit up. Friends, we fall into worldly sin because we are using our soul to solve it. Your stuff is not going to solve anything. All your stuff is going to do is going to deceive you further, cause further unrest, cause further deception, deception that's passed on to others that you love, unfortunately, as well as it's going to irritate, it's going to fester, and it's going to cause other acts of evil in your life. You want to be demonized like Paul? Whenever he tried to do right, he always did wrong. Whenever we give it to God to do right, it's always blessed. The reason we fail is flesh. To the extent that your souls have been renewed by the Word of God is the best they will ever be. The best. We achieve, we receive a perfect spirit. Hosanna, Judah, hallelujah and praise, all glory be to God. You have given me a perfect spirit. You give me perfect wisdom and guidance. You allow for me to be a perfect vessel for you and your kingdom when I choose to receive. When I choose to receive. But Galatians 6:3, a deceived man cannot be deceived. No. That's not how it works, does it? Galatians 6:3, a deceived man doesn't know that he's deceived and causes others to stumble. We deceive ourselves because of our own deception, and we pass it along because of condemnation. I'd rather have a visit from the Holy Spirit that moves me. Cry out for Him. Only in the Word of God and the Spirit of God. How we portray ourselves reveals our attitude. I'm the sort of person. To betray myself is to portray myself. How to justify my misconception. Self-justifying images is all about me. Those images that we allow in our imagination room. That top 40 playlist that we get to choose what goes on it. If you debase yourself in these images, God is coming for you. I'm no good. God can't use me. You old prideful thing, you. If I think of the person I fail, I'm indifferent, resentful, even irritated. We start dismissing people as human beings because of our emotions. We resent because we fail to help them. We give into emotions and believe the lie. I betray myself and demonize other people, magnify their faults to profit my own. Self-betrayal. Our values and principles become perverted now. See others as violators, not fair, too dependent, not as busy or as hard-working. We justify the right to exploit the wrong, crusade to be more right. What do we do when they repent? Do we celebrate them? What do we do when we choose to repent? Do we honor God with it? It's behavior. How do we act in these situations? Do we control our anger and temper, then remind them what we did? But I didn't beat you. Manipulate like a politician. Ignore them like an object. In my selfish state of being, I will never control my change. No inward change, no outward change. See how that works? My outward reflection is a measure of my inward progression. That's operating spirit up, not soul down. Don't be confused by the counterfeit nature. Is genuine change possible? Any thoughts that aren't selfish when betraying myself? Only God can change a heart. Get convicted about your convictions, Christians. Get set free. Verse 15 in Romans, for what I'm doing, I do not understand. Soul down. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. Paul's already claimed it. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Who will deliver me from my deception and self-centeredness? Let's take a step farther. Verse 25, I thank God for my deliverance. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. This is fallen world stuff. Romans 8:1. No condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God is not condemning you, you are. The truth is in the Holy Spirit. Misunderstand, change God's way. Understanding comes from relationships within the Spirit with others. Repentance is necessary, but it won't change you. Change. Go out and do. You want to define it? Go out and do. Be a doer. Your baby's crying in the next room. You hear the baby crying. Edify and exhort your helpmate and go care to that baby. Be a doer. Matthew 16:25. Lose your life to find it. For whomever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. Be sanctified by losing your life. Lose yourself to glorify the kingdom. Get past your own inhibitions. Forgive yourself and move forward. Quit playing the blame game. Quit allowing yourself to be a victim. How about that? Quit allowing yourself to be deceived. Check yourself on a daily basis with like-minded individuals that pour into you, edify you, exhort you, and show care. Link arms with your brethren. Forget yourself. You lose your life to serve another. Work hard to protect your relationships with people or stab yourself in your own foot. Eventually, it comes back to you. Eventually, it comes back to us. Eventually, we have to look ourselves in the mirror. And either you see yourself and you're deceived, or you see yourself the way that our Father sees us. We are not in the business of winning. We are in the business of winning lives for the kingdom. It's not about self. It's about kingdom. Can we stop justifying our own means, our own misconceptions, our own booger bears, our flesh, and truly lose ourselves to gain freedom? It is freely given if we receive it. Remove an attitude of self-justification, self-appropriation, and self-denial, and replace it with an attitude of gratitude. Amen. All praise be to God. Thank you, my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me and allowing me the opportunity to be a vessel for your kingdom. Thank you for the opportunity to bear my brother and my sister's burden, to edify and exhort them and show care and do it with Jesus on my face and on my heart. Just be a conduit for you, knowing that I'm growing something more, that you're more than enough. Good people, the time is now. More now than ever before. We must stand in the gap. We must truly live for one another, rooted in His heavenly promises. We must be vessels for His grace and for His glory. We must receive, not achieve. It is the perfect season for it. And there won't be a better opportunity than right now. Freely given, freely choose to receive. This is our word for today. Thank you so much, New Beginnings Fellowship, for hearing the word today. We praise our God for this word and for bestowing this word to us. We thank you for saving us from ourselves and our own stuff. Father, let us use this season to glorify you and grow your kingdom and put you first in all things. We pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you, good people. Thank you for those that viewed in with us today. We have a host of resources here at New Beginnings Fellowship Mid-Cities. If you like what you heard today, share it out. Share it with everyone you know. And also, we'd love for you to share it on your social media. You can go to New Beginnings Fellowship Mid-Cities. .com, that's mbfmidcities.com, as well as our Facebook and YouTube account, which is New Beginnings Fellowship Mid-Cities. We would love to be able to bless you. If you feel led by also blessing us, there's also a Give Now button on our New Beginnings Fellowship Mid-Cities.com webpage. Thank you for tuning in today. May this word manifest in your lives this week. Meditate on it. Apply it, and please continue to join us as we continue to love Jesus and loving you. Have a blessed Sunday.